Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the preponderance of the hour by a very dear and trusted friend, well known to the listeners of this broadcast, Brother Paige Tyler, our 12-step guru extraordinaire, or at least he endeavors to be faithfully. And we will pick up with step six, this 12-step ministry. But first, we take a look, please, at the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And I endeavor with this text to personalize it for this august and splendid audience. We read, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? We don't need letters of recommendation to you or from you, as some other people do, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone, revealing that you are a letter of Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on tablets of human hearts. Now we have such confidence in God through Christ, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as it were coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate to be servants of a new covenant, not based on the letter, but on the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." The Word goes on and continues to say, "But if the ministry that produced death, carved in letters on stone tablets," that is the Ten Commandments, as we are given from the book of Exodus, "if this came with glory, so that the Israelites could not keep their eyes fixed on the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, a glory which was made ineffective, how much more glorious will the ministry of the Spirit be? But if there was glory in the ministry that produced condemnation, much more does the ministry that produces righteousness excel in glory. For indeed, what has been glorious now has no glory because of the tremendously greater glory of what replaced it. For if what was made ineffective came with glory, how much more has what remains come in glory? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we behave with great boldness, and not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from staring at the result of the glory that was made ineffective. But their minds were closed, for to this very day the same veil remains when they hear the old covenant read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. But until this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is present, where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, which is from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I love this text. I love it in part because it utilizes the motif of letters. I'm a man who loves to write letters and draw handwritten notes to people. And this uses the motif of what we may formally call epistolary literature. That is, we are epistles of God, written for one another by the Spirit of Christ, not a human author. Granted, the letter was written humanly by the Apostle Paul. One of the great truths of Christian dogma is that Scripture, though written mechanically by human authors, their personalities shining through the books, still and nevertheless, at a deeper, even more meaningful level, there is a unity to the entire Bible, because in its entirety, it has been manufactured by the Holy Spirit. Often we will say that the Bible is inspired, but it's not inspired in the sense that Shakespeare was inspired writing. It's not inspired in the sense that a great actor puts on a tremendous performance before a live audience. It is more properly stated that the Word of God is expired, as in exhaled from the very heart of God, like breath going forth from our mouths on a cold day. The Word of God is expired or exhaled from the very mouth of God. And it not only goes through the writing capacities and the personalities of the human authors, but it reaches deep into the hearts and minds of those who hear it, who listen to or read it. And I love this motif all the more, because whether one is writing or one is reading, the Spirit of God is integral. And Paul says here in verse 2, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone." Allow me, please, to personalize this. I have the privilege of pastoring a lovely little fellowship of God's people. We have about 30 congregants to my immediate congregation. We have another adjacent or adjunct congregation of some 20 to 30 more people who join ranks with us on a number of special occasions. I have a reading audience of some 150 people, maybe even more, by way of the books and essays and poems that I write. And we have this audience of several thousand people, according to the Nielsen ratings. Those of you who are listening, you are, for me, a kind of letter, and you are written on my heart. And I give thanks and praise to God that you have become part and parcel of my pastoral purview. You are loved and you are honored and esteemed. You are prayed for. You are truly appreciated. And it is my prayer that what we do by way of this broadcast makes more plain and clear to you the love and truth, the love and truth of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that by way of what we do on this broadcast, that you are taken into more meaningful encounter with Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross for both you and me, the one who died out of love for us, the one who now lives still out of love for us, the one who will come back on our behalf to take us to be where he currently is, because he loves us. And what the Word of God goes on to say in verse number 3, this reveals that you are a letter of Christ, delivered by us, as a postman would, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on tablets of human hearts. Those of you within the purview of this broadcast, if you receive Christ into your lives, you have become a letter of Christ. And if you are seeking after Christ, and this broadcast lends a helping hand to your search, please understand that you will become a letter of Christ. This broadcast will be, by God's mercy and grace, instrumental. And though we may never meet in this earthly sojourn, a day will come when we will recognize one another with such clarity and with such joy, because we will share in the bountiful and beautiful presence of the Almighty with no obstruction. Praise the Lord. You have become a letter of Christ delivered by us, again, written not with ink, but by the Spirit, with the living God. I'm a writer. I love pens. I love mechanical pencils. When I read books, I use a mechanical pencil and a ruler, and I underline verses or passages. I do it neatly out of respect for the book itself. I love to communicate by way of word, and certainly by way of deed. And I praise God that the motivation is not my own glory or glamour. It's not my own satisfaction, though I find it preeminently so. But what is for me the great blessing is that I'm being used of the Holy Spirit. I pray that I am being used of him on your behalf, you by name, and you as a collective entity. I praise God for each and every one of you, and I pray that this word goes forth, and it doesn't simply speak to the air. I pray that it speaks to and finds indelible etching on tablets, as this scripture says, tablets of human hearts. God bless you for attending to this devotional word. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We'll return with Brother Paige Tyler in just a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, this time returning in sync with Brother Paige Tyler. And Brother Tyler, God bless you for coming back.
As always, a blessing, Bradley.
It's become a kind of holy habit for you to come out once a month with us.
It is, and it's a blessing for me to have this venue in order to reach out to the world about and to bring a little bit of knowledge that God had given me over the years to someone who might be still searching.
Well, brother, I know that the blessing you were to us when you were amongst us in-house for some 16 or more years, and I know that you are a consummate blessing by way of this conduit that is the great message. Thank you for being here. You are our 12-step guru extraordinaire, may I put it that way? Or has that given you too much?
That's giving me way too much credit.
Yeah, but you love it, don't you? You love it, right? But we're all
God gets all the glory, man.
Well, that he does. That he does. And I share with you in that. But we are honored to have you. We're looking at step six. And, brother, share with us what this step is.
All right. Step six is we are right in the middle of the mix here. And we're about to make that change. And step six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Now, for those of you who might have forgotten how we got here, what defects of character are we talking about? Well, in step five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And defects of character is just another way of saying our wrongs. And then in step four, we made a fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And back in step four, we made this fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Now, in four, we looked at both the good, the bad, and the ugly. And but we focused on the bad and the ugly in step five and step six through nine, because we are going to now clean up the mess that we've made. In other words, while we understand that God is a forgiving God, and God accepts our repentance, we are still responsible for what we have done in this world. And in the 12-step program, we take that responsibility head on, and we admit it, we confess it, and then we do something about it. And step six is the first step about us doing something about it. And the first thing we do about it is we change ourselves. Now, please, don't point to the many people who get to this point and they do hop, skip, and jump steps. Because I call step six and seven the hop and skip steps. Because in the big book of AA, of Alcoholics Anonymous, Steps 6 and 7 are represented by a few paragraphs of text and two prayers. And then we're ready to move on. Well, this gives the readers license to hop over step 6, skip step 7, and jump into step 8, which is an action step. Eliminating the prayer steps, which step 6 is a prayer step, and step 7 is a prayer step. Read step 6 again. Were entirely to have God remove all these defects of character. And the passage that we attach to this is, humbled ourselves before the Lord that he may lift you up. So now the image here is not of us hopping and skipping and doing a 15-minute prayer and then moving on to doing what we think we should do. Just saying I'm sorry to all the people who I hurt, which isn't what God's asking us to do. God's asking for repentance here. And repentance starts out with changing who you are. Then this step asks God to look at us and see anything that is not like him and to remove it. And that's a major step. Now, we have similar steps, places in the Bible that will give us examples of people who have encountered this type of situation. We all know the story of the prodigal son, and I'm gonna focus only on the step 6 part of the prodigal son's journey, because if you go through the whole prodigal son's parable, you will see the complete journey from into powerlessness and coming out of powerlessness and back to a right relationship with his father. But let's see where he's in the middle of the mess and how he gets out of it. Now, he's in the middle of the mess. I'm going to pick up at Luke verse 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 16. And he's there feeding the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. So the guy's starving now. Now here's the key. Here's step 6. When he came to his senses. That's step 6. When he came to his sixes, he humbled himself before the Lord. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Right? Here I am starving to death. So he humbled himself before the Lord. He sought his face. I will seek out and go back to my father and say to my father, I have sinned. So now another word for character defects, because Bill Wilson was a polite guy. He hated to call people sinners.
And Bill,
in fact, he refused to use...
For the audience, Bill Wilson was...
The person who wrote the book Alcoholics Anonymous, the author, the co-author, the primary author, let's put it that way. There were 100 other people, but he was the primary author. And he hated to call people sinners. He always used some other term. So character defect is another term for sin. I have sinned against heaven first. So admit it to God. And against you, that's his father, it's to another person, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now he speaks about himself, and he confesses to himself exactly who he is. Make me one of your hired servants. That is step 6. When we turn from our wicked ways, seek God's face and begin to pursue after his righteousness. This is where step six is the beginning.
And brother, if I may put it this way, and then we turn to a break, whether you're a sinner or a defective, there's redemption from your sin or correction from your defect.
Amen.
Courtesy of the Almighty. But we must break. Brad Lacy, Brother Paige Steiner, we return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacy, Brother Paige Steiner of the 12-Step Ministry, returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother, I had to interject there because of the need for our break, but you were very effectively sharing with the fact that concerning the prodigal son, who is an example for us all, when we come to our senses, when we reckon with the ultimate consequence of our sin, we have this grace that we may come to our senses and turn back to the Lord. But in the two earlier steps, there are two words that are applied that are requisite to coming to our senses, but they're rather intimidating words. On the one, we must make a fearless inventory of ourselves and of our shortcomings. And I have found that many, many people, and notably and including many Christians, that's a rather fearsome proposition. And
people
also,
don't want to...
Go ahead. Yep.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
People don't want to do that.
No. But it's one of the hinges upon which this ministry will bear forth fruit in your life.
Exactly.
The other word in the next step is that we itemize, if you will, with exactitude, the exact nature of our wrongs. And my question to you is, brother, how exact do we have to be?
I've seen people with 5 spiral notebooks. I think that's a little bit over the top.
It's missing the it's missing the forest from the trees, isn't it?
But it needs to be thorough enough for you to have a good grip on who you are. And when I walked away from my thorough or moral inventory, I knew several things about myself. I knew that, one, I had a serious rejection complex. Came from me having skin condition when I was a child and being teased by and rejected by the kids in the neighborhood that I grew up in. And that gave me a serious rejection complex, which affected the way I behaved in the world today. It still affects me today. I have to be aware of that. I was a frightened 6.5-year-old little boy who had built up these defense mechanisms, because when I went off to school and faced this evil world, I built 6.5-year-old defense mechanisms as a first grader to protect myself from an evil world around me. And I was a 40-year-old man with the emotional behavior of a 6-year-old.
And if I may, you were not humbling yourself before God. You were constructing unhealthy walls.
I was, and while constructing unhealthy walls, I was constructing unhealthy relationships, two failed marriages, an untold number of failed relationships in between the failed marriages, and the legacy I left behind me in my day of sin was not a proud one, and not one that I'm proud of. So I had to come to understand all these things about myself. I had to understand that I would do things to try and get people to like me because I had this rejection complex. How could I even know that about myself? I didn't even understand it. You know, when it was revealed to me, I didn't even understand it. I had to learn this about myself. So it took a fearless moral inventory of looking at my behavior, why I reacted the way I did, why I felt the way I felt, and pulling out the true feelings, not the fake feelings. Because that initial feeling that I have is fake. It's the cover-up. And so I don't have to feel the real feeling behind it because I don't want to feel the pain. I have to miss that one and go behind it and feel the real feeling that I'm feeling. And that is the painful one.
And if I may put,
that I'm trying to cover
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and if I may put it this way, in speaking of that, of a fearless moral inventory, in speaking of making a litany of the exact nature of your wrongs, you applied the word thoroughness. May I offer another one? I think they're working in complement with one another. Thoroughness on the one and transparency on the other. I think because
right.
I think when you are transparent, as you just said, you didn't understand it all. It's a learning and growing process. You'll be discovering years down the line further dimensions to what was your unhealthy existence and how it and until you acknowledge it, until you humble yourself before God, it's going to continue to plague you. That transparency is your conduit out of that unhealthiness.
Exactly. That's the next step. That's step five.
Yeah, right.
That's the transparency. And hopefully you prayerfully pick someone and are led by God to pick that person that you share this with that God will be able to speak through.
Right.
And will be able to open those doors and make these revelations for you so that you will be able to start making these connections, because on your own, you can't do it. You're behind the closed door. How can you possibly, you're in a dark room behind the closed door. How can you possibly fix it? You know, you can't see, you can't hear. Your own denial has shut you off from the world in a lot of areas. And it's not your fault. You built up, if you're like me, you built up these defense mechanisms as a child,
yeah.
An innocent child protecting yourself from an evil world. And this world is evil. And if you look at the way children treat children, and this is they're learning this stuff from their parents. They're learning this evil from their parents. And I know I was exposed to it as a child, and I know many, many people are exposed to it. I remember speaking to I was working with this young lady. She was a beautiful young lady. And she said to me something about, she wasn't too happy with her looks. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, Paige, you never had acne. Acne.
You had something, yeah.
She was way past the acne.
Yeah. But she still saw it, though, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had eczema, and I still saw the eczema years later. I saw the marks on my arm, and I would tell people, don't you see those marks? And people would look at me like I was crazy.
In my case, brother, I've been pasty white for 62 years.
Well, you haven't recovered.
I don't think I ever will.
I'm going to get you out of the sun one day, man. We'll get you But we're going to need some serious SPF
you. Isn't there some kind of aerosol spray I can use? Soberly, for me, it was a deep lack of confidence in my manhood. It took decades to get beyond it. Decades. But thoroughness and transparency. But what that leads to, brother, and I think step six, when we humble ourselves before God, the text of Scripture says, in due time, God will lift us up.
Right.
So what comes forth? Can I be alliterative? I'm a preacher. Thoroughness and transparency will parlay into transformation. That
Amen.
Act of humility, it is that by which we will be transformed.
Exactly. By the renewing of your mind. I do not think the way I used to think. And this is not any work of that I've done.
Right.
All I did was follow this simple formula that when I started it, didn't even believe it was going to work. But I said, I'm going to do it anyway because when it doesn't work, when it fails, then it'll be their fault because I did it exactly the way they said. I did it exactly the way they said, and it did work.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't believe it. Well, I said, this is hocus pocus. The problem, you know, the thing is that the stuff of God appears foolish to the earthly man, and the earthly page walking into this looked at this and said, oh, this is foolishness. Okay, I'll do this dumb stuff and let's see if it really
And yet
works.
The irony is that the converse is true. The Bible is very clear that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is more powerful than man's strength. And, you know, you've accentuated over the years with me and over this broadcast how these steps are extracted from the Bible. They are biblical principles. Brother, I remember as a young lad, I was 14, deeply troubled, and I believe I was led of God to cry out in this way. I cried out to God, Lord, give me three things. Give me strength, give me courage, and give me wisdom. And the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And if we ask God for wisdom, he will give it. That's all very biblical. And what I learned was that if I acted in accordance with the wisdom of God, I knew from a young age I was on the right track. Praise God. I was on a track that would take me well beyond my fears, well beyond my insecurities, to a place of fulfillment and satisfaction. Glory be to God. But one more round ahead. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, indeed for anyone and everyone, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Tyler, we are discussing step six, and if I may just articulate the step, we were entirely ready to have God remove all of these, that is, our defects of character. And the biblical predicate for this step taken from James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. In this final segment, I would like for you to have first dibs as to where we take this to leave with our audience.
Yeah, well, I want to not leave. I let off this segment, the whole thing with the prodigal son and him coming to his senses. And I want to say that it is very important to understand that after he made his resolution, he said, "I will set out and go back to my father," and say, "And so he went." So down at verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. So he did something. He didn't just sit there and pray. He got up and he put the thing in action. We can sit there. We can know that we're wrong. We can pray about our wrongs. But if we don't put the seeking of righteousness, of God's righteousness, in the action, we will be sitting there praying about our wrongs for the rest of our lives. We must put rubber on the road. We must put foot on the path. We must walk the steps. We have to go forward. We must seek the righteousness of God, our Father.
Well, brother, I think it's fair to say, and I know that you concur with me, that prayer and action are like hand in glove. You can't have one without the other. If you're not predicating your actions or bathing them in prayer, God knows what can go wrong. But prayer is the means by which God directs our actions, is it not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
That's how we got to get it done. We got to be in prayer. And then God directs our actions, but we have to do something about it. We have to be intentional.
Yes.
Our actions have to be pointed at it. We have to say, I have this defect in my life. I see what it has caused. And now I am going to be intentional about correcting that in my life. I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, you I'll call it a pageism. You have a classic dictum. You've shared it over the years. And I think it plays right into this. We would do well to pray our way into a situation so that we don't have to pray our way out, you know?
Yeah, I learned that right. I learned that one the hard way.
Yeah, and we all have. You know, within a year of marriage, an old friend of mine asked me how marriage was treating me. And my answer was no reflection on my beautiful wife. My beautiful wife was a very forgiving soul. And with every infraction that I would incur, she forgave me immediately and would never mention it again. I mean, I was blessed with a saint of a wife on that level. But my answer to my friend was, I never knew how selfish I was. Because when you live with someone, your respective flesh is bucking. You know, you're bucking against one another. Or it may be your flesh and the lady's spirit, or vice versa. And so I had to reckon with my sin set within the blessing and framework of a beautiful marriage. Again, I was blessed in that the lady, in a very godly way, always forgave me and put it behind us. But I had to be very transparent with myself, let alone with Peggy or God. And I had to humble myself. I remember one time I had to go to Peggy and I had to come clean on something. And she was so beautiful in the way she responded to me. I'll never forget it. And it just broke the back of any obstruction betwixt us. My humility, on the one hand, moved of God, the lady's forgiveness on the other.
Amen. Amen. And when done correctly, usually that's exactly what happened. When you, as we move forward in this process, you will see that we first recognize our problem. We ask God. We become ready to have God remove it. We ask God to remove it. And then we proceed to make the amends to the person whom we are harming with that character defect. And usually when we've done it in that order, the person has already seen the change in us. And when they have seen the change in us, then they're willing to accept us back into their graces, because we're not the same person anymore.
Well, brother, you have already accented it. Allow me to accent afresh. The emphasis here is first and foremost upon going before God. Didn't David say in Psalm 51 after that massive debacle with his lust, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So we do sin against others, but first and foremost, it's against God. Right. Get right with him. He will help us get right with everyone else.
Exactly. Exactly. Get right with him and he'll straighten you out with the rest of the world.
Yes.
You know, you may have to go through some stuff. That prodigal son, it always says in the book, it doesn't tell you about the prodigal son's journey back to the father. But he was in a foreign land. Now, when he went to the foreign land, he was rich. When he's coming back from that foreign land, he was poor. He had no food. I don't know what he was wearing for shoes, but it probably weren't the best for sandals of the day. And I bet you that walk was pretty much a struggle.
In other words, brother, wine, women, and song can really cost you a pretty penny, right?
It usually does. It usually does. It usually does. It doesn't leave a pretty sight.
No.
You know. And I'm at an age now when I've watched some people live a life of wine, women, and song, and I've watched what it's done to their lives. And sadly enough, many of them have already gone home before me. I'm not condemning them because they have the grace of God just like I do. But it does not do much for your life. That's all I got to say.
Brother, you and I, we've shared a lot in Christ together. And, you know, when we were celebrating our 150th a couple of years ago as a church, I felt the Spirit of God leading me to use that to reach out to be reconciled to a couple of people with whom I had been at odds for literally 25 or more years. But you know what? In order to be ready for that moment, it took literally years and even decades of marinating in an increased experience of humility. And you know many of the things that humbled me.
Yeah.
I praise God, though. In 20 seconds or less, what do you have to say to our friends on the other side?
20 seconds. Do not fear this step or any of these steps. You're putting yourself in God's hands. Turn your will and your life over to the care of God. Let him walk you through this. Give it to God, and God will make it right.
Can I quote you?
Oh, yeah, you can quote me on that one.
I'll give you full attribution to the glory of God. Praise his name.
Amen.
Brad Lacy and Brother Paige Tyler, thank you for joining us. We commend you to God. We wish you his every blessing. Take care.